This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And the House of Representatives starts debate today on the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan with a final vote expected tomorrow. We have Congresswomen Catherine Clark and Lori Trahan live on the line with us to talk about it. Congresswomen, it is great to have you both. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be with you.
It's great to have you. Congresswoman Clark, I'll start with you. The vote is expected tomorrow. Speaker Pelosi has said it will pass. Are you expecting any speed bumps?
I am not. And I can tell you that I am so excited to cast a vote for this bill that is going to be transformative, not only meet the immediate challenges we are facing in this country, but be a huge step forward in building back an economy that is even more inclusive. And it couldn't be more important in Women's History Month and yesterday being International Women's Day to have a bill that recognizes how much women have lost in this pandemic and puts the solutions back in place to bring them back to economic health. So it is going to be a very historical and a real cause for optimism when we pass this bill tomorrow.
I am looking forward to diving in with the both of you a little bit more on the provisions for women in the bill as well. Before we do, I just want to turn to you, Congresswoman Trahan, for a minute and just ask you, are you satisfied with the bill as it has come back to the House? And are you feeling good about casting a vote to support it?
Oh, I am as proud as the Assistant Speaker just conveyed to pass this significant piece of legislation. This is a historic package. Working families are going to be able to keep a roof over their heads, put food on the table. Tens of millions of Americans will gain access to vaccines in the coming weeks. Our small businesses and our restaurants will get the help that they need to keep their doors open. And one that I feel so strongly about is our children and educators will return to the classroom safely. So it's not a coincidence that economists, public health experts, Democratic, Republican, and independent state and local officials have come out in support of the American Rescue Plan. It's going to shave an entire year off our projected return to full employment and mitigate millions of job lost this year alone. So I can't wait to vote on the bill.
So it's interesting. I am hearing genuine enthusiasm from the both of you. I mean, obviously, if it's a bill you support, you'll say you support it. But there's something different that I'm hearing here. And at the risk of creating kind of a free-for-all by inviting you both to talk kind of as you see fit going forward here, what does have you so jazzed, especially in terms of what this bill could do for women?
You know, when I ran for Congress, I ran to do good things for women and for children across the Commonwealth, in my district, and across the country. And this bill does just that. And women have lost significantly more jobs than men since the pandemic began. We have eviscerated more than 30 years of progress in the labor force in just 1 year. And this bill is going to go far into helping right that ship and recognize the dignity, respect that women's work needs and the value that women play in our economy. So whether, as Congresswoman Trahan said, it is getting vaccines in the arms to get our children safely back in school, whether it's the survivor checks, $1,400 payments that are going to help families hang on, an expanded child tax credit that is going to cut child poverty in half in this country. I mean, think of that. Cut child poverty in half. And, the list goes on with housing and food assistance, unemployment insurance. And one of my issues that I have been fighting for is dealing with child care. And this bill will not only stabilize child care, but help parents afford child care and access it so they can get back to work. This is a historic bill in its proportion, in the solutions that it delivers, and in the path for the future that it sets forth, where the work of women is valued and we make sure that we are lifting all of our children up and giving them an opportunity. And this is sort of the work that you dream about being able to do in Congress. We come here to help people, and this bill is not only going to meet those, you know, those immediate challenges and the loss that people have faced, but it really puts a framework for a more just economy and for equal footing for women in it. And it's a tremendous accomplishment.
Congresswoman Trahan, in a minute, I am going to ask you guys a little bit about the size and the concerns around the bill. But before we do that, picking up on the path for the future that this sets forth, to use the words that Congresswoman Clark just used, is there a constituent or a constituent story that sticks in your mind that you feel like the provisions in this bill, especially provisions around unemployment supports for childcare, supports for childcare businesses, the child credit expansion, et cetera, that you feel this kind of addresses? Can you put a human face on this for us?
Oh, well, I absolutely can. And I have countless stories. I mean, the last year has been hearing the personal stories of teachers, school administrators, municipal leaders who need the aid. But, you know, on Friday, I was at the Greater Lawrence Family Health Center, which is a teaching community health center on the front lines, has been on the front lines for the duration of this pandemic. But I got to walk into a clinic where they got their 2,000 federal doses in addition to, you know, the state allocation. And there were people in those chairs celebrating, right? These are folks in Lawrence, are, you know, one of our most underserved communities that have been waiting for, you know, to get their vaccination. And it was a celebration. I mean, it was emotional. You know, the head of the community health center and I, we both had tears in our eyes, you know, because this bill, it provides more than $20 billion to establish a national COVID vaccination program. And that money is already going to our community healthcare centers, who intimately understand that they have to close this disparity gap, that they have to get scrappy about going to where people are in their communities, to their churches, and they're doing that, and they're able to do that because of this plan and because of this administration. So, yes, I have so many stories that I've brought with me this entire year and have really influenced what we have fought for in this rescue package.
Congresswoman Clark, I'll start with you now to explore a little bit of the pushback. I mean, this is a massive spend. It's just under $2 trillion. NPR calculates that's equal to roughly 9% of the U.S. GDP. It is one of the biggest spending bills in American history. Shouldn't we be concerned about the size of this spend, even if one stipulates the benefits that you're laying out?
I think we have to listen to the economists, listen to the chorus of voices that are telling us the risk of overinvestment is very small, but the risk of underinvesting in American families at this time is very large. And so this bill, I think, meets the scale and the severity of this pandemic and how it has tattered our economy. And as I travel around my district and hear the stories of loss, of anxiety, of fear, I know that this bill is a lifeline. And that is exactly where we should be spending. Let's make those investments in the American people. It is not lost on me that this is the exact same amount as the tax bill that Republicans put forth in 2017, $1.9 trillion. $1 trillion is hard to get your head around, but this bill goes to helping Americans and American families. That bill was almost exclusively for the very wealthy. And so that's where our values have to be. We have to be making those investments that allow us to regain our health and our financial health, and to address the scale of loss that we have seen, not only loss of life to this pandemic, but also loss of jobs and of the effects on our mental health, and all of the revelations of this pandemic, of inequities that existed before but that have come to light. And this bill does so much to move us forward in this period of time where we are dealing with both a time of reckoning for racial and economic justice. And that's why I think the scale and the size of this bill, it meets this moment and puts us on a path so that we will be better prepared, more resilient, and have more equality in our economy moving forward.
Congresswoman Trahan, let's stay with this for just a second longer. There has been a criticism that I would paraphrase as this bill is too much too late. And what I mean by that is the economy, arguments that the economy is starting to rebound already, that there are real risks of inflation in this spending, although Congresswoman Clark did touch on that a little. What about this argument that it's too late in that we don't need this much because the economy is starting to gain its own steam?
Well, I will tell you, the sequence has always been about getting through the public health crisis so that we can start to stimulate our economy. And that's what this package does. It accelerates us getting through. I mean, look, we have finally a national testing and vaccination plan with billions of dollars behind it. We know that we want to reopen our schools. I mean, part of the reason why we've lost so many women, so many mothers out of the workforce is because they've been juggling caring for their loved ones, helping with remote schooling, and had to leave to make ends meet during this pandemic. This is exactly the scale. And, you know, the assistant speaker said it best. There's not an economist, whether we're talking to Republicans or Democrats, that say that this is the scale that we have to pass a package like this so that we can have an economic recovery. It is going to, shave an entire year off our projected return to full employment. It's going to mitigate millions of jobs lost in this year alone. It'll help 2.3 million women who have been forced to leave the workforce entirely return to work. And so that is what's most important. And, you know, I do think that this is a tale of two parties with differing values, right? I think Congresswoman Clark was right to point out that comparable size package going to the wealthiest of Americans just a few years ago, when we're focused on getting our workers back to the help that they need to stay afloat during this pandemic, to make sure that our restaurants and our smallest of small businesses can stay open, to make sure that our families aren't in food lines for a day longer. And that is that's why this package is so important and it's so significant.
So I want to shift gears a little bit here and maybe have a little bit of fun with it as we do at the very beginning, Congresswoman Clark. You mentioned International Women's Day was yesterday. Women's History Month is this month. We are at a time with the highest percentage of women serving in Congress in history. Do the two of you feel it? Can you feel a difference? And what does that feel like?
Well, I'm happy to start. I think it feels a little weird to celebrate the fact that this is the most female Congress in our nation's history when you actually look at the numbers and see that it's still only 27% of seats in the House and Senate are held by women. Now, that's a huge improvement from the 13% a decade ago, but it also perfectly illustrates just how far we still have to go to ensure that women have the representation that we deserve when decisions are made. You know, I often say that I don't need to read another study to know that better decisions are made when more women are at the table. And, you know, even with this package, you can see the fingerprints of so many of our women leaders on this on this recovery plan, because it has investments in child care. It has investments in health care and reopening our schools. And, you know, we're going to quickly start to tackle workplace fairness and the gender pay gap and climate change. For me, reining in big tech so that our children are protected and their privacy is protected. I think that's what you get when you have more women at the table, and we still need many, many more if we're going to accelerate the change that we want to see.
How about you, Congresswoman Clark?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Lori more, and let me tell you what a joy it is to have Lori and Ayanna Pressley in our delegation. And the priorities do change when women are at the leadership table. We bring a different perspective. We promote a different agenda. And I think that this bill is an excellent example of that. Keeping our eye on the needs of families and children and centering our work and priorities around that. And that's what women do. And I watch Lori balancing her career and the incredible work she's doing in Congress while also caring for her children and her young children. And that is the balance that takes place around this country. And understanding what it means to be caring for children and caring for aging parents. These are real life experiences. And as I sit in some of our committee rooms and I look around at the portraits of primarily white men who were former chairmen of those committees, and then I look to my left and right and see women and women of color and the incredible diversity that is the Democratic caucus in the House, and it looks like America. And when we have truly representative government that is not only representing women, but women of color and indigenous women, it makes a difference. Those priorities, life experiences, all inform our work and make for a stronger and better legislation and solutions for families at home. And so while we are in some ways the very worst of times, and women are carrying such a load of loss and as caregivers of opportunities and choices and jobs, we are still, this bill gives me optimism as we come out of this, that we can tap this diversity, tap the women and the voices that they bring to our work here in Congress, and make long-term changes. And I think that's why you said you heard such excitement in our voice over this legislation, because this is one of those opportunities to really transform how we value women, their experience, and their voices, and to codify it, and to say to the women in this country and across the Commonwealth that you matter, and we see you, and we value and honor you. And this bill does that. And it's not perfect. There is much more work to be done. But it is a really monumental start on that path to equity. And it's you can see it in our caucus that reflects back what our country looks like. And that is the strength. And we are going to continue to tap those experiences, tap the incredible women here in Congress, and use their voices, because those are the voices of the American people, to set the priorities here and to continue to deliver for American families.
So before we let you go, just one last question. I'll turn it to you, Congresswoman Trahan. 1 year ago today here on Radio Boston, we started our Ask the Doctors segments, and we're going to do one after the break. What question do you get most often or hear most often from your constituents about the virus and vaccinations?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I just did a PSA for a vaccine safety, right? We still have some reluctance out there. And so talking to folks about the safety of getting their vaccine is probably one of the questions that I get. But also, you know, other questions around, what does it mean if I, how soon will I be effective after I take the vaccine? Will I still be able to pass it on to my loved ones? You know, so I think there are still questions that, we're answering. And, you know, it reminds me of when I was at the health center on Friday, because those trusted providers are the ones who break through, and they can give that assurance to folks that this is the path forward. I mean, the CDC guidelines that were given yesterday that, for those who are vaccinated, we will be able to be inside with our family and our loved ones and finally hug them without, fear is just it's the light at the end of the tunnel that everyone's been waiting for. And so I think as much as we can educate folks about getting the vaccine as soon as they're able to do it, so that they can be with their family and their friends again, is what we have to be promoting.
Well, that's just been a great conversation. That was Congresswoman Lori Trahan of Massachusetts 3rd District and Assistant House Speaker Catherine Clark of Massachusetts 5th District. During this Women's History Month, a joy to have the two of you together. Thanks so much for being on Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.